Spike Lee's BlacKkKlansman was one of his most successful film openings ever last weekend. It's based on the 2014 memoir from Ron Stallworth, the very real first black cop hired by the Colorado Springs Police Department in the 1970s, who went on to infiltrate and bring down a local chapter of the KKK. The film is hilarious. It is heartbreaking. It is based on a true story. But how much of it is true? We want to take a look. So, warning, warning, spoiler alert, there will definitely be some plot giveaways here, although not the very ending. But if you've seen the movie, we're going to answer some questions raised. And even if you haven't, you may be the kind of person like me heading into the theater this weekend, and we highly recommend you do, who wants to know, wait, is that true? So here we go with Jasmine Sanders of Slate. Jasmine, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So there's a card right at the beginning that flashes up. This movie is based on some faux real stuff. And it is. You could not make most of this up. The black cop, Ron Stallworth, really did see an ad in the paper as he was sitting with the white cops at the station house. It was an ad for the Klan, and he called the number.
Yes. So Ron Stallworth was somewhat of a rookie cop still at that time. He'd been in the force about 4 years when he decided that his next operation was going to be to infiltrate the Klan, which had somewhat of a burgeoning presence in Colorado at that time. So he sees a newspaper ad and kind of on a lark without his sergeant's permission or with any idea of what he was going to say or a script or forethought, called into the number, which is how he wound up speaking to an actual Klan representative and absentmindedly giving his own name and information.
Oops, that's a problem, and it becomes dangerous. But he's also black, so Ron Stallworth, played by John David Washington, Denzel Washington's son.
Yes.
He decides to do the phone work with the Klan and ask a white cop, played by Adam Driver, to be him in meetings with the Klan. Driver's white cop is not happy, and Stallworth asks him why.
This is the job. What's your problem?
That's my problem. For you, it's a crusade. For me, it's a job. It's not personal, nor should it be.
Why haven't you bought into this?
Why should I?
Because you're Jewish, brother. The so-called chosen people. You've been passing for a WASP.
So a Jewish white police officer becomes the person who goes to the Klan. Is that true?
Somewhat. Stallworth does have sort of a white avatar who attends in-person meetings and obviously Klan rituals. But in the book, he's just described as a white man. He's not of Jewish heritage or background. That was kind of a Spike Lee addition.
Right. Because he said, as Ron says, he wants him to have skin in the game. And it actually might have been two white cops, but Stallworth's never identified them.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Stallworth, because Stallworth didn't retire until 2006, and he wanted to protect not only some aspects of his own identity, but the cops who were possibly still working in the field.
Okay, so this is all true. And by the way, it's also true that Ron Stallworth was sent undercover to see black activist Stokely Carmichael, who changed his name to Kwame Ture, speak at a rally at a local college. In the film, he meets a love interest, a female activist. In fact, she's running this whole event. They're on the line outside, waiting to go in.
You know how we got to Colorado Springs?
Yeah. The Colorado College Black Student Union invited him.
I can dig it. Are you part of the union?
I'm the president.
Really? I'm talking to the president right now?
Yes, you are.
Right on, sister.
Jasmine Sanders, a couple things to talk about there. You hear Ron Stallworth or David Washington's voice there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons that he can speak so fluently with the KKK on the phone is that he's told, and we kind of hear it there, although this is controversial to some people, he has a white voice.
Yes, that's something that's also repeated in the book by Agent Stallworth's sergeant and superiors, which is the idea of a black voice, which kind of does exist, but not in the way that they believe it does, not with regard to like syntax and the way, the grammar that one uses when they speak.
Well, and we're going to be doing a separate segment on this, the so-called white voice, black voice. But there's a hilarious moment in the film, and I guess this really happened, where Ron Stallworth on the phone with David Duke, the grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, David Duke thinks he's talking to a white man, and he tells him why. What does he say?
David Duke responds that he would be able to detect a black person's voice by their pronunciation of the word R, which he believed black people to have a distinct pronunciation of.
That they say Ara.
Ara, yeah.
Meanwhile, he's talking to a black man on the phone
yes.
while he says this. So that really happened. But back to this love interest, this female activist, we understand that didn't happen.
Well, the script changed hands from Jordan Peele to Spike Lee, so that was either a Lee or Peele addition. There's no notable love interest mentioned in the book.
Okay. And the costume designer for the film said that the character was inspired by Angela Davis, the activist of the time, and Kathleen Cleaver, the wife of Eldridge Cleaver,
yes.
more activists. Both of those women were the inspirations for this character's look and attitude. There's also mm-hmm. a virulently racist cop in the movie, assaulting people of color. Does he exist in the book?
Not really. There is another cop named Ralph who we know shot an unarmed teenager who we can assume is black, or it's kind of hinted at that the person was of minority, like racial background, but they don't say explicitly. And then he's never punished for that.
And that happened in real life and in the,
yes.
in the movie, perhaps embellished on. Again, all of this true, but along the way, David Duke, who is the white supremacist, anti-Semitic, conspiracy theorist, Holocaust-denying, former Republican Louisiana state rep. At this time, he's a young man who's forming this mm-hmm. modern version of the Klan. He comes to Colorado to meet with this local chapter. That really happened. But is it true that Ron Stallworth is assigned to be David Duke's bodyguard when he comes?
Yes. Yes. Bodyguard, escort throughout Colorado Springs, yeah. and he snapped that really, like, funny, chummy photo.
Stallworth goes up to David Duke and says, can I take a picture?
Yes.
And you think to yourself, this black man cannot have just walked up to the Grand Wizard of the KKK and taken a mm-hmm. selfie. But he did.
Yeah. The picture is kind of lost to time. Like, Stallworth misplaced it in a move, but yeah. he claims that it does exist.
Wow. There's another part of the film. Ron Stallworth is, again, guarding David Duke, who's come for this citizenship ceremony where these Klansmen, including the fake white Ron Stallworth, are being sworn into the Klan. Duke and the Klansmen munch on popcorn and watch the racist film Birth of a Nation. That really did happen. At the same time, Spike Lee cuts back and forth to another scene, an elderly civil rights activist telling black college students about a lynching. What's real there?
Duke really does induct the Colorado Springs agent officially into the KKK, which is how Ron Stallworth has his official KKK membership placard. Mm-hmm. There is not the presence of the sort of elder black activist, which is played by Harry Belafonte in the film. But the incident that the Belafonte character refers to, which is the lynching of Jesse Washington in Waco, Texas, did occur and was potentially a KKK incident, which was inspired by Birth of a Nation.
And you write the pictures the Harry Belafonte character is holding up in that scene of this
yes.
real lynching. Those are real?
Yes. The pictures of Jesse Washington, a teenager who was convicted of a crime in Waco, Texas, and was lynched and dismembered and had his body burned by a mob, which included some KKK members. The photos were taken and disseminated as postcards and memorabilia of the event. Mm.
Photos by Fred Gildersleeve, you tell us. That was all,
yes.
That was all real. Oh, boy. There are things apparently Spike Lee did make up. There's a big ending. We won't give it away. But did Ron Stallworth and his white colleagues, did they manage to disrupt this local chapter of the KKK?
Yes. Stallworth writes in his memoir that the focus of the Klan had been at that time several planned firebombings of local gay bars, as well as a few cross burnings. He has a passage which is really poignant and just descriptive about the way that a cross, which is intended to be burned on a lawn, is constructed and the exact dimensions of it and the way that the fuse is lit, which was really one of the most, like, poignant passages in the book, or shocking, I guess, because it's so hard to get an idea of those things from just reading. But when he lays out the construction of the cross, the dimensions of it, the plans to light it, it's definitely like shocking. So those plans were thwarted, and so that was largely the measure of Ron Stallworth's success.
And the investigation was shut down, even though it was successful. Tell us about that.
There's such a thin line between an infiltration and collusion. So there would have eventually come a time where it's hard to discern, especially as a civilian, are they infiltrating the KKK or are they just acting members of the KKK?
Right. Because, as it turned out, there were people from NORAD who were in the KKK, as they discovered.
There were.
That's Jasmine Sanders. We'll post her article, What's Fact and Fiction in Black Klansmen, from Slate at hereandnow.org. And I really, you know, I don't think it takes away from going to see the movie to know some of these plot twists, because I know I was sitting there thinking, what's true? What's true? So now, if you went, you know. If you're about to go, and we think you should, you'll know. Jasmine, thank you.
Thank you for having me.